Hey guys, Warren Williams from warrenwilliamscoaching.com. So this episode's quite cool because, you know, I was approached by this great, beautiful character who calls himself Suntara, also known as Suntara Music, which is Suntara Music. So he reached out to me about 9 months ago and was happy with my work, and you know, was really, you know, motivated to want to kind of share an interview with me. He lives in Australia, and when he was traveling, because he often travels the world, as you'll hear in, you know, the interviews that precede, he travels the world sharing his love of music and vibrational frequency that can help change people, alter their states of negativity to positivity, and so on. And you know, we were trying to arrange a time to actually, you know, get on Skype and, you know, do a podcast. And he said, well, you know, I travel the world and I should be traveling to the UK at some point, so let's try and arrange it when I'm in the UK. So over about a 9 month period, we were trying, because he came to the UK quite a few times, and we just kept on missing each other because of our schedules. And then we eventually were able to sit down in the middle of September. He was able to come to my home, and we were able to share some, you know, great music, some healing, and some talking, which, you know, hopefully you guys will enjoy. So this guy, you know, he'll tell you about his background, but he's a healer, a musician, and a lover of life. So hope you guys will get a lot out of this interview. You'll hear some great music and some great conversation. Thank you. We've kind of been trying to get together for quite a while. It's been, what, eight, 9 months or so?
That's good. Enough.
Yeah, enough time. So Suntara is I'll let you tell your story in a second. You know, he kind of reached out to me, about 6-7 months ago. A powerful energy healer from Australia who's kind of traveling the world sharing his beautiful message. And, you know, we've been trying to, you know, like I said, either meet up online or, you know, we thought about actually probably being in person. And it's such a pleasure how the universe works now. We've kind of connected. He has some time right now where he's in the UK just traveling in Ireland. And yeah, you know, now we're doing a face-to-face session. So I'd kind of like to introduce you all to Suntara and his work. So just to kind of give my audience kind of background, so you're an energy healer. How would you describe yourself?
Yeah, you know, I'm a sound healer mainly, and an energetic healer. So, you know, basically I use sound to move energy. And, right, you know, I've been traveling around the world now with my sound healing for 7.5 months. We've been to 11 countries. Yeah. I've been traveling with my wife and my twin 9-year-olds, and I've just been organizing my own events, going place to place, going places I've been called to go, going place where I've decided to go, and just organizing events and advertising them on Facebook, using Facebook ads, and filling rooms with people, and then, you know, bathing them in sound with my sound healing, which is mainly vocal based sound healing, chanting, channel chants, that sort of thing.
Right. So obviously we just kind of use this kind of to summarize what you do.
Yeah.
So now let's go back a little bit to the start of the book and kind of share with the audience what kind of led you down this path in the first place. So we're going to focus on your why. What was the purpose for you to kind of get drawn to do this work? How was life for you before you actually came into this work?
It's a great question. You know, I've always been interested in natural healing, natural therapies. My father was always very open-minded, and I've always been a musician, but I sort of buried all of that because when I was at school, I thought that I had to go and do something that earned good money.
Yeah.
So I chose to do IT, and although I didn't enjoy that to a certain extent, you know, after about 10 years of that, it was getting really, I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, my soul just wasn't happy. So it came to head in 2006 when I was traveling in South America, and I got an email saying, come to London, we've got a contract for you. Because what I'd been doing is I'd been going to London, doing contracts for 6 months, and then going traveling, which was a good lifestyle. But in 2006, when I got this email saying, come to London, I was like, oh, I don't know whether I can do this anymore, even though it it's affording me this lifestyle. I can't even handle doing this 6 months in the office. So, but I needed the money. So that time I went and I got to the office in Canary Wharf, and I was really struggling to be there, bro. I was really struggling. And I thought I need something here that's going to allow me to be able to be zen in the office and be able to focus and be able to handle this, because I just wasn't handling it. I was having to leave the office every hour or so to try and find, you know, a patch of grass or some sort of greenery or some sort of tree to, you know, some sort of connection with nature. So I went online. I was actually looking for my singing teacher. I had a singing teacher in London. But when I put in what I thought was her website, up came someone else's website. And it was a website of an opera singer, a shaman as well. He is a guy called Alexander Massey. And I saw he was running a workshop called Dream Sounding. And the description of the Dream Sounding was that he was going to chant and sing over our bodies with his opera voice for an hour and a half. And I thought, I was just intrigued. I thought, I need to go to that. So I went along, did the session. There's a small group there. He chanted over our bodies and used different instruments. And he did a clearing, like a sound journey, like sound clearing and sound healing. And it just, I got so much benefit out of it. And I was able to go to work the next day and I felt relaxed and I felt like I could focus. And he'd cleared a lot of the negativity that I was holding, the stress. So 2 weeks later, he was doing another session, went back to that one. Same effect, you know, he really cleared a lot of stress out of my body. I was able to focus at work. So this was really my medicine of the time. And I found a deep medicine in sound that was allowing me to be able to function in this environment where I didn't want to be, you know. It was allowing me to be there, which is what I needed. I needed to fulfill my commitment. I couldn't just chuck it in. I needed to fulfill my commitment. But the big thing that happened was I took a week off my contract and I went up to a place in Scotland called Findhorn, which is a community. It's a spiritual centre. It's a community. They have their own organic gardens. The whole place is pretty much self-sufficient with their own electricity production, with wind turbines and their own food production. It's a magical place with a magical energy. And I went there and I went to the experience week where you get to just experience being there. And while I was there, I met a beautiful young lady from Venezuela in South America. Now, she was working in London. She had been for 8 years. And we really hit it off, and we had a lot in common, and we really enjoyed each other's company. And we spent that week together at Findhorn. And then when it was time to go home, I said to her, you know, when we get back to London, I'll call you and we'll keep doing this. And when we got back to London, my mind got in, and it was saying, you know, you're punching above your weight here, man. She's too good for you, blah, 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 and saying these negative things. And you're going back to Australia. She's from Venezuela. Don't be doing the long distance thing here. And I listened to that voice. And then, so 2.5 months passed and I didn't call her. Then I decided I'd go and have a session with Alexander one-on-one. So he did a clearing with his voice, with sound. And I left his place and I hadn't called her, right? But in that moment, I just felt so good after that session with him. And all of that negativity was gone. And I pulled out my phone and I called that girl. And she became my wife. And we've been married for 11 years. And we have twin 9-year-olds. So if it wasn't for sound healing, I wouldn't have called my wife. So that's a pretty big thing, you know. I don't know what my life would be like without that session. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman, and we have a wonderful life together. And ironically, we are traveling around the world now sharing sound healing, and it's the thing that changed our lives and got us together.
So, I mean, you know, as we say, you know, there are no accidents, you know, everything happens for purpose. There's no such thing as coincidence. It's all instances happening at the same time. So, but what, one thing that you said that I was kind of curious about is you had this interest in the sound healing in any way, but someone typically in that field, in the rat race, is so focused on counting money or counting cash and just surviving, being in that mindset of the survivor, doing what they need to survive. And we often know that many people are doing jobs that they hate, but they're doing it for money. It's all relative to a need.
But the interest, what was it that made you be even interested in sound healing to even try it? Because as we both know, you talk to some people about this sort of stuff and they're like, I'm not doing that woo-woo, quote-unquote woo-woo sort of stuff. There's not enough scientific data. I'd rather just go get some crunchies or take a sports drink to make me feel good or chocolate bar, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it that initially, prior to that, that even made you be interested in the concept of sound healing?
Well, I've always been very musical since I was a kid, and I've always been a singer since I was a kid. My singing got shut down by bullying, that sort of thing.
Right.
So it was shut down. And then, you know, when the Twin Towers came down in 2001, I had a spiritual awakening, and it sort of coincided with me meeting a woman who became my girlfriend at the time. We went down this path of healing together. So I got into things like kinesiology, which I know is something you're into. I went back to Australia and I studied massage and I studied something called polarity therapy, which is energetic healing. And from there, I actually became a rebirther. I went and did a bunch of rebirthing breath work with Leonard Orr in America.
Right.
The gentle style, not cathartic style, just the gentle style. And the rebirthing actually changed my life so much. And I went from someone who couldn't sing without being drunk to someone who was writing songs. And, you know, through that rebirthing process and doing about 30 sessions in a year, I got really opened up to my music again. All the you know, the hurt and everything that had stopped me from doing music was gone. And I was able to do music again and sing. And so, you know, the following year when I went to London and met Alexander, you know, I'd already been into healing. So to be able to combine sound, which is another passion, with healing, it was just the next logical step. And the clincher was when I went to his sessions and I felt what it did to me. And I felt the energy clearing and that beautiful space that it creates, and the joy and the bliss that I felt after the sessions, and the lightness, you know, like a deep, deep meditation. And of course, you know, what happened with deciding to call my wife and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, these were all things, you know, that had the background of the healing work and the music that all came together once I had those experiences. And from there, I was just, I just thought, I've got to do this.
Sold.
Yeah.
So the only thing now I'm kind of interested in is the period between doing the rebirth and all that sort of stuff, and then where does the corporate kind of work kind of fit into that? As in, what was it that you were doing the work alongside the rebirth, and what you did that first, and then you got into the rat race, and then you got pulled back into this world?
Well, when I got into the rat race, I tried to spend as little time in the rat race as possible. And fortunately, back then, it was kind of the first half of the 2000s, you know, around 2000 to 2006. It was really booming, the IT industry. So, and it was paid really well. So I used to go and work for 6 months. And then on the weekends, I'd go and study polarity therapy. And I'd do the 6 months and then I went traveling. I went on a trip for 14 months going to places that were curing cancer. That's a whole other story. That's where I met Leonard Orr, the founder of Rebirthing. So it was kind of interspersed, you know. So I wasn't really in the rat race. I was going 6 months, making a whole lot of contract money, and then just going and spending it on, you know, courses and travel.
Self-development.
Yeah.
So you step in and out of the matrix, as they say.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But then in 2006, I was like, oh, yeah, I just can't do this anymore.
So this is something that's really interesting, because I kind of want to touch on now, you know, not just talking about your journey now, but more into something that, you know, I like to talk about with people about purpose, finding your purpose. So I'd like, you know, your thoughts on, you know, the importance of, for you, finding your purpose and doing what you feel you love. I think we spoke off before the recording about, you know, people doing things for work and or for career, but not for passion or love. Can you speak to the audience about what, you know, what made you feel that this is your path? I know you said about the experiences you felt, but why that's so important for people today to actually have a path or a purpose versus doing something for money?
Yeah, well, you know, every time I do one of my sessions, I mean, traveling around the world doing my sessions, I just get, I mean, I get hired doing it, but it's not about me. You know, it's about the people who come up to me after the session and say, look, A big example of this, and this kind of happens all the time, is that there was one session in Ireland where this woman walked in and she just looked, she looked terrible. She had a massive headache and she was really in a bad way. And after that session, the change in her face, she looked like a totally different woman. And she actually came to my second session a few weeks later in the same town because I had to go back because it was so, you know, well attended. And she said to me that her whole body changed from the vibration of the sound. And, you know, to be able to affect people, I mean, it doesn't always happen. I'm not making any claims that that always happens. But when it's the right person, the right place, the right time, a big transformation can happen through sound healing. And that's, it's just rewarding to be able to affect people in that way. And then they go out and affect other people as a follow-on effect. So, you know, for me, this is like breathing. I have to do it. The thought of ever going back into corporate or something like that, it would just kill me, honestly. It's like breathing. I have to do this. And if I'm not doing it, I get... I say to my wife, oh, I haven't done any sessions in a while. I really need to do. It's like I just have this compulsion to to work with sound. And but you know, just to answer your question, I think, I mean, a lot of people, most people, they never allow themselves to do what they really want to do. And you know, just to be able to say to yourself, I am going to do this. You know, sure, we lived 6 years on virtually hardly any money at all, but we just ate very, you know, ate very economically. We didn't go on any overseas trips. While over that 6 years, I built up my, you know, client base and my events in Australia. And the turning point came though when I was working these. I was an Uber driver.
Right, okay.
I was cleaning houses. So I was trying to do anything to stay out of the office. So I was doing my thing, making a bit of money out of that. But then I was doing other things just to try and keep my dream alive, like Uber driving and cleaning. But there was one day where I was cleaning this toilet and I just broke down into tears and I just, it was that moment where I just decided that I couldn't even do that anymore. I had to make the dream work. Or nothing. And that's what I did.
And, you know, the reason why, you know, I bring this up as well is because, you know, we know statistically 95% of people are doing things that they hate and they do it out of fear. Because they feel like they're compelled to do it. We know that people that study in school, get a degree in school, often don't use it because it's either their parents are forcing them into it, or become a doctor, it's a safe job, or become an accountant, you make lots of money. But, you know, especially, I'm sure you experience this in your work as well, so much trauma that you get from clients, so much hate, so much regret, resentment, all of this is energy, it's all frequency. So it's like, you know, if someone can find their passion, that reduces a lot of the frequencies that are negatively holding them back. So, you know, I'd like you to now kind of talk more in depth about your work, like give if you could paint a picture. I know it's different for every person, but if you could paint a picture of how you work with people, like what instruments you use, what things people typically come to you for, and so on, how long the session lasts, and what sort of, and you know, you said, you know, it's different for different people, what effect they get, but you know, what you're trying to, you know, help that client with in general.
Well, most of the time I'm doing group events, so you know, I'll have 30, 60 or more people in a room receiving the sound, and I have, you know, PA system. So people receive different things. You know, most people get really relaxed. And to have someone get really relaxed, that's when their body's own healing mechanisms kick in anyway. So sound healing is kind of a misnomer. All I'm doing with sound is helping people relax and also clearing space in their being. Because it's the body, mind, and spirit that does the healing, not me. I'm not the healer. You know, all I'm doing is using instruments and my voice to shift stuff around. You know, when you shift stuff in people or help them shift stuff, their body, mind, and spirit is allowed to come back into balance and into harmony. You know, that's the key thing here. I'm not sitting on a pedestal or in an ivory tower saying, I'm the healer. I'm out there moving life energy. I call it moving life energy. in the group sessions using sound, using drums, using crystal bowls, using my voice, channeling sound.
Mm.
And, you know, that vibration connects with people and it shifts stuff.
Mm.
And when you have that shift, there's a space and into that space comes healing, or into that space comes an idea or an epiphany about what they need to do.
Right.
So people get an array of different things. They'll get relaxed, they'll get they'll get an epiphany, they'll get closure with a loved one who's passed on the other side, they'll get forgiveness of past relationship or themselves, they'll get a release of tears, you know, it's letting go of grief or sadness.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that can happen.
Yeah.
But it's all created by using sound to shift energy.
Yeah. And for me, that's like quite an important thing, because, and I understand what you're saying, it's like you're, I often say it's like you're the anchor to the clients that are in your space. You become the center and or the soundboard to them. And you know, it's like if you're vibrating at a specific frequency, then people feel at ease around you. And you know, it sounds weird, but you know, like just to give the audience another example of this, like there's a German doctor about 1950s that did some tests on about 700 patients on stress. Say he hooked all of them up to EMGs to read their level of stress. And at the end of the test, he found that unequivocally every single one of them was in very, very high stress. And that they only recognized that they were in stress when they were at the extremes of their stress.
Right.
So even in their normal state, their normal state was a state of stress, but they thought they were calm.
Right.
So the kind of stuff, and that's back in the 50s before mobile phones, Wi-Fi and you know, microwaves and all that sort of stuff. So, and you know, a lot of that is like what you said about this space and being able to relax. Some people will probably think, I relax when I watch the TV, you know, or relax and have a good pizza, or when I drink wine. But it's not really relaxing. So, like what you're saying, it's like a lot of people don't actually get to kind of get into the basement of their own thoughts and their fears and their emotions, because their body's always vibrating at such a high state of anxiety, depression, anger, resentment, that they can never deal with these emotions. And that's kind of like what you're pretty much saying, right? You're allowing these people to enter this total serenity, for lack of a better word. And that's a beautiful thing. So next thing I kind of want to talk about is, because I noticed, you know, I've watched a lot of your videos. So when you contacted me, you know, obviously you sent me some really good links, and I started to watch a lot of your videos, and I saw you were using your voice. But not like when you say singing, it's not like, you know, someone singing using normal words like "I am here to," you know, it's nothing like that.
Yeah,
it's more like a harmony or a humming or a, how would you describe it? How is it different? It's not really singing the way people would experience singing, like go to a concert.
Yeah, it's chanting.
Right.
It's chanting. It's toning. I sometimes call it vibrational singing.
Yeah.
Because you know you're holding, I'm holding long notes and transmitting energy with the voice. You know, it's like, the best way I can describe it is, if you think about the ancient cultures, you think about the Australian Aborigines, the Native Americans, it was all chant. A lot of it was in language, but it was more for them to do with vibration and the vibration of the songs and different things. So it's kind of bringing my own personal unique take on that, and using my own unique form of chanting. And I have this thing that I do where the voice really, it's like a vibrato, but it's a different vibrato. And it really, when people listen to that vibrato from my voice, it has a effect of stilling the mind for a lot of people. Not everyone. Some people, it annoys the shit out of them.
Yeah.
You know, this is the other thing.
Mm.
There's the flip side, which is, you know, the my vibration and what I do is not for everyone.
Yeah.
But for some people, it's their medicine. For some people, it's their annoyance. But that's okay. You know, and so, yeah, it's really vibrational or chanting.
And when you do your vibrational chanting, is it, I don't want to say scripted like that sounds bad, but as in, Is it you just go with whatever frequencies are coming to you and you just let that permeate kind of?
It's spontaneous and it's channeled. And sometimes it's so channeled, you can really feel the spiritual energy of it. It's not me. Yeah. I move out of the way and something, you know, else comes through, and it can be really, really powerful the more channeled it is, because you know it's coming from something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you use your voice, and then yep. What other instruments do you use?
I use crystal bowls. I use shamanic drums. I use djembe, African drums. Okay. I use a Native American flute. I use various sort of chimes and things.
Yeah.
And I also love collaborating with other musicians. Like, I don't play the didgeridoo or the yidiki, which is the Aboriginal name for the didgeridoo, but I love collaborating with didgeridoo players and others. I met a harpist in Ireland, and we were doing some chanting with the harp.
So with the different instruments you use, do you use different instruments for different effects for different people, or is it you just mix all of them up so you can get different frequencies? Is there a specific way that you may use it?
Yeah, generally I use drumming and stuff to really clear, really, really get things moving, especially in sort of the beginning or the beginning stages of a sound journey. And then as it goes along, you know, I'll move into bowls, which are much more sort of soothing and vibrational, and people really sort of feel a warmth go over their bodies with the vibration of the bowls. And I'll chant with those, and it's much more drawn out rather than being staccato and sort of beating like a drum. And then right out to, you know, things like these beautiful Koshi bells that it takes people back to childhood. It's really soothing.
They sound like wind chimes.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Just a different name.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, they're Koshi wind chimes, or Koshi bells, they're called.
Right.
So yeah, it's about taking people on a journey of clearing and then integration.
Right. So explain that integration. Like, how would you summarize that with integration for people?
So, you know, if you're really giving them a big shift, like some people in the sessions with the drum and the didgeridoo and things like that, they have big shifts of energy. And when I'm walking around, because I wear a radio mic and I walk around doing it, and I can actually physically see people. You know when you're sort of falling asleep and you might twitch or have a jolt?
Yeah.
A lot of that happens in the sessions. People will be laying down and their leg will jolt or their arm will jolt. And, you know, having these releases of energy and these releases of tension out of their body. So, you know, I can see that happening. And so that's the clearing. So once people have had a clearing, you want to give them a space where not so much of that's happening, where it's more like a gong bath, where it's more like just, okay, now we're just going to drop you into a meditative state where all that clearing that's happened with the drums and different things has time to just settle. You know, like shaking up one of those snow globes and you shake it up, and then you have a period towards the end where it settles again, but it settles in a way that they're in a better state than they were when they started.
Okay, so that's a good, I like that. That's a good picture, because so a lot of people, I suppose, when they come to you, I don't want to say broken, but the energy is displaced.
Yeah, I mean, people who come to my group events, you know, you've got the whole range. You've got people who are really healthy mind, healthy body, they're not too far out of balance, and you've got people who are really ill sometimes. And so everyone gets what they need. You know, and the more open they are and the less expectations they have, the better. I have had some experiences, especially in Australia before I left to come on the world tour, where there was a lot of men coming, which is not that usual, because normally my events are 95% women coming, between the age of 30 and 50, 30 and 60. And these men started coming in Sydney, and they'd walk into my event and they'd look at me and they just go, roll their eyes, and they've been dragged there by their partners, right, to this woo-woo thing, stuff. And but the thing about them is they had no expectations. So they lay down, and they come up to me afterwards. I go, mate, what was that? You know, they've had an experience, and they've had a shift, and they've maybe seen something, like a vision about their life, and they just get so surprised. Mm. So that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because you know a lot of people have preconceived notions that they can then make manifest in the sessions if they want it to, if they will it to enough.
Yeah.
So I suppose what you're saying is they're like a blank canvas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you find not the best, and again, I don't want to use these words wrongly, not like they're the best clients, but that's where you get the truest healing if they're a blank canvas?
I mean, it's like any healing. The truest healing comes from the people who are ready for it. You know, you can't, like, in my personal practice where I do one-on-one sessions, there's been a few times where people have said, oh, I'm going to pay for my partner to come or my son to come for a session with you. And in the past, I'd be like, yeah, sure, no worries.
Yeah.
And they'd come and they don't want to be there, okay? It doesn't matter what I do, they don't want to be there, okay? So I've stopped doing that. You know, if someone says, I'm going to pay for a friend to come for a session with you, I'm like, no, you're not. They're going to come, you know, on their own steam, you know, if they want to be there. But I find that people who come to my sessions, the ones who sit up the front, they're really ready. They're like, yeah, take me with the sound.
Mm.
They're the ones who really get a lot. Mm. Or the ones who just, they're open, but they don't expect anything.
Mm. So I want to kind of shift gears and talk, again, I'm trying to capture as much different elements as
possible. Yeah, that's good.
What you do. Right, so you were sharing the experience of a group session,
mm-hmm.
and you just touched on an individual session. So tell me more about how you work individually with people. Is it in a specific room? Is it, you know, paint the picture of how that works. Is it people have to fill out forms? Is it certain subject matters that you need to know about prior to, you know, paint the picture of how that works and how it's different from a group?
Yeah, my one-on-one sessions, my private sessions, I call them moving life energy, and it's a two-hour process that involves rebirthing breathwork and sound healing and hands-on energetic healing all together. So I guide them into the breathing rhythm of rebirthing breathwork, which in its purest form, rebirthing breathwork is just about guiding people into the breathing rhythm they did when they were a baby.
Right.
Now, a baby breathes without stopping. It's not about hyperventilation or overbreathing. It's just they breathe in, the breath comes out, and then once it's out, it comes straight back in again. And then it's a circle, you know, breathing in and letting go, breathing in and letting go. And gentle, right? So I put people in that breathing rhythm, and that breathing rhythm causes the body to relax. Because you're putting them into a breathing rhythm that they did when they were a baby, and it's unimpeded and it's without tension, so their body goes, right, okay, I can just drop now into this state of relaxation. And in that state that's created by the rebirthing breathwork, their body starts to release tension. So you'll see a lot of those little flicks and movements and sort of, you know, signs of energy moving, the fingers might go, the toes might start moving, that sort of thing. And then on top of that, I use the sound healing to also accentuate that process of moving life energy. Because I realized that, you know, the only real healing is moving life energy. You know, if you can help, you know, using these very powerful tools of breathing, breath work, sound healing, and body work, if you use those three things to just move life energy for someone and help them shift stuff, then their body will do the rest once they have that shift. It's the same thing as the group sessions, just with the individual sessions is I'm working with breath as well. I don't do breath in groups because it can get really intense and people need my full attention.
Right.
And you can't really give people your full attention when you've got a whole group and you're singing at the same time. So I really do my one-on-one sessions with breath work. I only do breath work with my one-on-one sessions.
Okay, so now I'd like you to kind of, because I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because you said something really interesting and you know, very important, and something I always share with people. And I'll probably kind of preface it with a question to you. Why do you feel it's so, why is there an emphasis more on healing people through relaxation and frequency as opposed to someone going and getting their back manipulated or having a massage or, you know, just eating well? You know, why is this stuff so much more important than just doing those things alone? Like, for me, I agree, and I think it's the most important thing, because one of the things I always say is if you're trying to focus on teaching someone how to eat, you still have to work in their mind and their emotions and their psyche.
Yeah.
If you're teaching someone to alleviate pain, you still have to work on the emotional trauma that's embedded into that pain. So for me, it's the frequency of thought and their body energetically is far more important than anything else. That's what your viewpoint on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all important. I mean, this is just one facet. And I really look at this like, if you had a bank account, right, and the bank account has lots of money in it, then that bank account, you can have automatic payment programs set up to pay all your bills and everything's great. Mm-hmm. You know, if that bank account gets into, you know, below zero, if it gets into overdraft, you know, we can really use that analogy to look at people. You know, when disease starts to happen, chronic illness, even cancer, it's showing that their energetic bank account is in the negative balance, or you could say negative imbalance. So things like this, sound healing, are just one part of doing what I would call a deposit into that bank account, to send it in the right direction, and to maybe cut some withdrawals by them making a decision in a session to stop doing certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's just one way of building life energy.
Mm.
Whereas what you're talking about, like, you know, lifestyle changes, diet changes, you know, kinesiology, spinal manipulation, these are all also ways that we can build life energy and send that energetic bank account up. So, you know, I'm just doing my part, I guess, with groups to give them some sort of deposit that sends them up. But also from there, it's up to them what they do with their, you know, their physical, you know, with everything else.
Yeah.
But this is the thing about medicine is modern medicine is just looking for the magic pill to cure cancer.
Yeah.
There is a cure for cancer. It's called the immune system, right?
Yeah.
When, you know, cancer is like the immune system is so busy cleaning up messes all over the body, an infection here, a parasite there, you know, whatever. So the troops are all away fighting these different things. Then the cancer proliferates. If we do some body cleansing, some diet cleanup, some, you know, some energetic healing alongside of that, if we do some work with, you know, our mind and all that sort of thing, then the immune system has the power to go and fight the disease. And that's how disease gets cured. It's never going to be through a magic pill.
Yeah.
It's through giving the body its power back to do what it does best. Because a body will mend a cut. A body will actually kill cancer cells. You know, they say that we all have cancer cells in our body anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's just the people with cancer, in quotes, that have been diagnosed. The amount of cells in their body has gone over the amount that says that they have that. So our body's dealing with cancer and things like that all the time. It's just that, you know, we have enough resources to kill the cells.
Yeah.
So all we need to do is bring those resources back to people to be able to fight the illness.
Yeah. And everything you said is very, you know, I'm on point with all this sort of stuff. You know, it's a beautiful pitch to paint. And, you know, for me, it's like what you were saying, there's a saying that I'd heard some years ago, treat the person that has the disease, not the disease that has the person.
Yeah.
And that's essentially encapsulated what you're saying.
Wow, that's a good saying.
Yeah. So, you know, by helping, and for me, you know, my own work as well, the person's belief systems will keep that person at the state of illness that they're at.
Yeah.
So for me, the most important thing to heal is psychoneuroimmunology, which is this new science of understanding the mind's effect on the body and the biology. And we know that you can alter that with frequency because, you know, people need to understand that frequency is just thought. You know, thought is frequency also. And sometimes when people talk about all this woo-woo stuff that we're doing because we're using feathers and drums and all sort of stuff, they think, well, that's weird. But yet, I always say to them, okay, have you heard of this thing called ultrasound? Yeah, you go to a physio and you accept that that's real. And then I say to them, okay, do you know what they're actually using? It's called ultrasound. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I said, you know, that's just ultrasonic sound.
Yeah.
But it's been packaged in a nice little box and it's got a nice little steel thing. So they accept that as real.
Yeah.
Or they go and microwave food, which is frequencies at incredibly high, you know, rates, and they accept that that's a reality.
Yeah.
But yet they don't accept crystal balls and
yeah.
sound and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of wanted to just shift gears again and just to see, I'd love to know your viewpoint on the world, where the world is at. You know, for me, that, you know, the world needs to get back into honesty, love, and integrating spiritually, becoming more spiritual people. And a lot of that is harmonizing frequency and, you know, learning that we are, you know, we are light beings, we are frequency beings, we are soul beings. And we know that a lot of people, you know, since the 1960s when they started freedom of speech was more abundant, and people were getting into plant medicines, people mm-hmm. started doing ayahuascas and DMTs and all this sort of stuff. Cannabis is now becoming more accepted as it does heal. Just like, how do you see, like, in your own honest opinion, of where do you feel the world is going? Like, is it getting worse? Is it starting to get better? Are people going to things like sound healing because they started to realize things need to change? Like, you know, just your viewpoint on that sort of stuff, the world, and how people are growing. And
yeah, look, I find myself surrounded by people in the spiritual circles.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of them say Mother Earth is dying and all this sort of thing, and she's been affected and all that. But I have a very optimistic view of where we're going. Mm. I mean, there is a lot of stuff happening that obviously is hard to deal with,
mm.
pollution in the oceans and different things like that. But at the same time, there's this big spiritual revolution happening mm. where people are really caring about, you know, the amount of people that I know who are moving into doing things that they love,
mm-hmm.
starting to do that now,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of shifts the vibration of the planet. So, you know, I had a great lesson in this
mm-hmm.
a few years ago when I was living in Argentina, and we had a house, and next door there was a pomegranate tree,
mm-hmm.
and the house was a holiday rental, so they weren't there. So I thought, oh, pomegranates, I'm going to go grab some, mm-hmm. right? And I got to the tree, and last year's pomegranates were all just rotting on the tree.
Mm.
And the new pomegranates were existing on the same tree,
mm.
side by side.
Yeah.
So that's what we have.
Yeah.
We have the old systems,
mm.
the old way of being. It's still there. We still have to look at it.
Mm.
We still get upset about it.
Mm.
That's like the old pomegranates sitting there rotting on the tree.
Mm.
But you've got these beautiful, juicy, brand new, shiny, awesome,
mm.
lovely, you know,
mm.
glowing pomegranates
yeah.
that are sitting there side by side. And it's like, which one do you want to focus on?
Mm.
Because
yeah.
cause you create your own reality anyway. And who says there's only one universe?
Mm.
You know, we're shifting, yeah, I believe in
mm.
that we, there's not one reality.
Mm.
You know, there's realities, they've actually proven this, you know, quantum physics has.
Mm.
There's infinite realities folding off in different directions at any one time, and you're actually shifting into realities, and we're getting very cosmic here.
Yeah, no, this is good.
So it's like, what world do you want to live in?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to live in a world where the earth dies and everything goes to shit?
Mm.
Or do you want to live in a world where, you know, the earth heals,
mm.
And everyone is living in a world with more honesty and
mm.
and truth, and people
mm.
living their truth and doing what they love.
Mm.
And that's the world that I want to live in. So that's a world I'm going to focus on and spend more time focusing on.
Mm.
And that's the direction that I'll shift.
Yeah.
And with anyone who wants to go.
Yeah. So, because we're going to do a part two in a moment where, and you guys will hear this at a later date, where we're going to do some music stuff and get you to kind of educate them on music and the beauty of it and how you can use it to heal. But just on this, is there anything else you kind of wanted to share about your journey, what you've learned, or any kind of message that you want to have before we kind of close this interview?
Yeah, what I'd love to say is that, you know, I have a family, I have twin 9-year-olds, and, you know, I could have gone back into the office
mm.
to save us.
Yeah.
And I actually went into quite a lot of debt following my dream and then paid it off later.
Mm.
But the point I want to make is, you know, to go after your dream is worth that risk, is worth maybe risking not having as much for a while if you need to. Is worth living a simpler life, maybe in a smaller house with a less expensive car. Those things that cost us a lot of money aren't as important as being able to do what we want to do every day. I'm not saying that I don't want a big house and nice cars and things. I definitely do. But when that comes out of, you know, that the true thing that you want to be doing rather than the thing you're doing that you hate. So, you know, if I can do this with this obscure thing that I do with sound and be able to do it around the world, I've just, you know, covered a trip around the world for 7 months with my family from sharing my art, sharing my sound healing. So if I can do that, then you can too. You know, all I'm doing is following my path and going as far as I can see. And when I get there, I see further and I keep going. You don't need to know where the money's going to come from. You don't need to know where, how everything's going to happen. There's been so many times on this journey where I didn't know where the money was going to come from. Sometimes to pay the rent, feed the kids. But every time it came, every time it came. And I still worry sometimes. I'm a human being. But, you know, but you've got to just do it. And even if you do some little side hustles, you know, Uber driving or whatever, there's a lot of things out there these days. Exactly. We're lucky in this, you know, what do they call it? The
millennials.
All of these things, like, you know, Uber's a good example where you can just earn some money driving around, you know, delivering stuff or whatever. You know, just doing whatever you have to do to keep the dream alive rather than working full time in something you hate. You can always, you know, launch into what you want to do and then just pay the bills with something you're doing part time or whatever, or even go into debt for a little while and pay it off later. You can do that. But do it because the world needs you to do it, because your happiness is important for the vibration of the planet. And the happiness of others that you're going to affect by doing your passion. So just, you know, if you're listening to this and you hate your job, just remember that, you know, I went from IT to doing vocal sound healing and making a life out of it. And, you know, if I can do it, you can too. And just take that leap and just with faith, and you'll be surprised that everything will work out for you.
Wow. That's a beautiful summary, man. I'm so glad. You kind of, I was just sat here with a smile on my face the whole time because I love just hearing, you know, and again, this is you speaking from what's real, what's happened in your life. You know, it's a testament to surrendering to, you know, to trust and knowing that things will work out simply because there's no fear involved. As they say, feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, so
absolutely. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Oh, that's the story.
Thank you so much, Santara, and you know, it's been a pleasure kind of hear your journey, how you grew and how you share what you do today.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Well guys, what did you think of that? Such an open, honest guy, you know, he's just lovely to meet. Guys, this was the first time we actually met and you could just feel his passion, you know, just as he was talking, especially at the end, summarizing the potential that we all have. Just, you know, guys, we have to get behind this sort of stuff. We have to start realizing that the most powerful commodity in the world is love and fulfillment. It doesn't matter how much money you have. What's the point of being the richest man or woman in the graveyard? What's the point of making money and taking it to your grave? What's the point of being successful financially but unhappy spiritually? Being hollow inside but externally adorning yourself with gold and cars and houses, can't take it with you. As they say, you can't take it with you. And you just heard from a man who, you know, just was successful, you know, in IT, a safe job, which is where most people sit. Most people sit in safety. They don't take that risk. And there was a saying I had heard many years ago in some of my studies. If you're not living life on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And, you know, this kind of summarizes this man who was doing something safe, Santara, was doing something safe, and he moved into music and vocal healing because it was his calling and his passion. And if we all work from healing and passion, then depression and anxiety drop because we all are fueled by love, not by adrenaline. You know, and hopefully, you know, the last words he shared were, you know, immensely, you know, connecting you to his truth and, you know, resonating with you at a level that they resonated with me. And this guy's going around the world doing what he loves. So, you know, if he can do it, like he said, you can too. There's nothing special about him other than he's living his dream. And we all have a purpose and a dream. We're all here to do what we're genetically encoded to do. We just have to have the trust and faith and belief that we can do it. If you want to hear more about Santara, just search Santara Music on all social media platforms. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. He's got his own fan page. And also, he's got his own website, which is santaramusic.com. Remember, it's santaramusic.com. Until next time, guys, stay healthy, happy, whole, and whole be in health.